The scripture reading this evening is found in 1 Samuel chapter 7. We'll read the entire chapter. Our text is found in verse 12. I want you to read one verse from chapter 6 as well. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21. And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron, even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. And the text that we consider tonight is 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to the end of another year, it's appropriate for us to consider some of the things that have come to pass this year? What events stand out in your mind? We could certainly point to international events, terrorist attacks, even changes of laws that make same-sex marriage legal in the United States. That's a concern for our churches as well. But even though those things may affect our lives, those that are most significant will be those events that have touched us personally. Some of you were married in 2015. Some of you got engaged this year. Some of our families grew through the birth of little ones. And on the other side, there were painful trials, too, that God has sent into our lives. Maybe you experienced turmoil in your marriage or family or in the workplace. Maybe death took a loved one away from you. Or maybe this year was a year of anxiety or illness or pain. We might characterize this last year any number of ways, but here is one thing that ought to remain constant, beloved. If we are God's people, we ought to be able to make this confession: hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That was what Samuel confessed, and Israel with him, in thankfulness to God, the holy God of Israel, who delivered them from the Philistines. And that confession was the occasion of setting up the stone by which they could remember that great deliverance, that stone, Ebenezer. So let's consider the text under that theme, Ebenezer. Let's note that that is setting up that stone was a confession of deliverance. It was a confession of Jehovah's help, His gracious help. And lastly, it is a confession of Jehovah's faithfulness. Ebenezer was the name of the stone. Perhaps they inscribed that on the very stone that Samuel set up. Ebenezer is made up of two Hebrew words, Eben, meaning stone, and Ezer, meaning help. Inscribed on that stone, although we are not told they necessarily made an inscription, but it's possible and maybe likely that they did, Ebenezer, the stone of help, the stone that reminds us and commemorates Jehovah's help over our enemies. When we gather, perhaps some of us will gather tonight and see in the new year. Some families do that. When you gather with family tonight, beloved, and remember the events of 2015, how appropriate to make that confession, to raise up a stone, as it were, and to say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What a glorious deliverance God gave to the Israelites in Samuel's day. Samuel had gathered all the people to Mizpah to pray and to bring them to dedicate themselves to the Lord. And when they came together, they drew water and they poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted before the Lord. And that pouring out that water was symbolic, was a picture of, as it were, taking their hearts and pouring them out to God as belonging completely to Him. And then fasting, on the other hand, pointed to their humble repentance before God for their sins. On that occasion that Samuel called them together, the Philistines heard that Israel had gathered together, and they gathered their armies against Israel. Not surprisingly, the children of Israel were afraid of the Philistines. They called upon Samuel to cease not, verse 8, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And God answered that prayer. God fought against them. God sent a thunderstorm. And of course, with the thunder is the implied lightning and also the rain. Maybe that rain drove in the faces of the Philistines so that they could not see their enemies. However it was that God delivered them, God wrought a signal victory for the Israelites on that day. And this was the response. In response to that victory, Samuel says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But beloved, that was not the only victory that Samuel was celebrating. As great as the victory was on that day over the Philistines, in fact, the victory was a culmination of 20 years of preaching by Samuel to God's people because of their rebellion. Samuel calling the people of Israel to repent of their sins and to turn to God. That's the context. Israel had been walking in sin. You remember, children, the story of Eli, the priest, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. That was the wickedness. It was the days of the judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And because of that wickedness, because of Eli turning a blind eye to the wickedness of his sons, because Israel too turned a blind eye to that wickedness, God judged Israel. God told Eli through Samuel that he and his evil sons would die in one day. That happened when Israel went out to fight against the Philistines. This is 20 years before our text now. They went out to fight against the Philistines, and Hophni and Phinehas decided to take the Ark of God as something of a magical good luck charm. They took the Ark with them in the battle. And in that battle, Hophni and Phinehas were killed. The Ark was captured. And Eli, when he heard the news, fell backwards and died. Israel had failed to see that they worshipped a holy God. And now God was waking them up, as it were. God was judging Israel. God used the Philistines. The ark was gone, but when the Philistines had the ark of the holy God of Israel, God showed his holiness there too, for God began to judge the Philistines, so much so that they returned the ark to the Israelites. We don't have time to tell that whole story. But even after that happened, Israel still did not appreciate the holiness of God, so that when the ark came to Beth Shemesh, the men of Beth Shemesh did not hesitate to look into the ark, something they were forbidden to do. 50,000 perished. And then, just before our chapter then, the men of Beth Shemesh called the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim and said, "You take the ark from us," because they understood. They began to understand that they could not stand before the holy God of Israel. There the ark remained in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. And during that time, leading up to our text, during that time, 1 Samuel 7 verse 2 tells us, Israel lamented after the Lord. Israel lamented the Lord's absence. They did not feel His presence among them. And what is it that instigated their yearning for the presence of God among them again? It was the preaching of Samuel. Samuel came to the children of Israel and called them to repentance. Verse 3 of our chapter then gives us the message that Samuel preached throughout those years. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You see, as long as Israel served the strange gods of the Philistines, God was not going to deliver them from their enemies, the Philistines. So God called them to prepare their hearts unto the Lord. Leave off your strange gods. And if you think about it, beloved, that was a difficult, even impossible thing for Israel to do in their own strength. Think about their circumstances. At this time, Israel was under the Philistines. They were at the mercy of the Philistines. The Philistines controlled all the fortified places in the land. And now Samuel tells them, put away the gods of the Philistines from you. Knowing full well if Israel put away those gods that were dear to the Philistines, that would draw the Philistines against them. That would provoke the Philistines. And if the Philistines came against them and they were defeated, their life would be more miserable than before. What did Israel do? Did Israel have the courage to set aside their idols and trust in the Lord? Verse 4 tells us, Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. As long as God's people hold on to idols, they will not experience the presence of God. Do we hunger for the presence of God among us? What idols are we holding on to? And are we willing to prepare our hearts for the Lord? Are we willing to submit to God's will, even though it may bring the wrath of God's enemies against us? You see, as long as Israel refused to turn from their sinful idolatry, that's when they languished. But when they loathed their sins, when they turned to the Lord, then God gave them the victory over the Philistines. Now, to be sure, God did not give them the victory because they repented and because they turned to the Lord, as if their repentance was the ground and the reason for God's goodness to them. But God did deliver them in the way of their repentance. How important that we get that relationship straight in our minds. On the one hand, we need to know that God does not save us or forgive us because we repent and serve Him. That's not the reason God forgives us and saves us. Then that would be salvation based on our works. But on the other hand, God does not save us and forgive us without our repentance. Whenever God delights to bless us with forgiveness, He also works repentance in our hearts. And that means grace is the beginning of our salvation. Grace is the continuing of our salvation. And grace also is the completion of our salvation. And so that confession of Samuel, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us," granting us that repentance and also the victory over the Philistines, that confession was also a confession of Jehovah's comprehensive saving grace. Notice, when Samuel makes that declaration, he does not say, "Finally hath the Lord helped us after all these years. Now He's helping us." That's not what Samuel said. "After all these years of suffering under the oppression of the Philistines, finally He has helped us overcome their terror." Nor is Samuel simply thinking of that time frame, that day in which the Lord helped them overcome the Philistines. He says, rather, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Until now hath the Lord helped us." And that means not just today, but also in the past. All during those 20 years, even before that time, the Lord hath helped us. And that means when the ark was taken captive, 20 years before, God was there too. God decreed that for Israel's help, because God would wake them up, though not immediately. God was there helping His people also then. Israel had imagined that they could serve idols and enjoy God's favor at the same time. Maybe saying things like this: "Besides, we have the Ark of God with us. Surely God will be with us. We offer sacrifices in the temple too. Do we not? Remember, this was the time of the judges. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. But such was the horror of their sin." Go back and read the history of Hophni and Phinehas and how they committed such wicked deeds. And you will see that God needed to wake them up. And so He decreed that they would lose that battle. God in His goodness wanted to show Israel how far the glory had departed. How far they had departed from God's ways. God wanted to show them that in His goodness, He wanted to show them He did not wink at sin. He would show them that sin has consequences. God let the Philistines capture the ark. God decreed it. But even there, He was helping Israel to see the seriousness of their sin. God does that, beloved, too, in our lives. We might walk in sin for a long time and think to ourselves, "It's no big deal. God will forgive me anyway, won't He?" He doesn't expect me to take drastic action to cut off my sin, to cut off my right hand and pluck out my right eye. Does he? After all, he's a merciful God, is he not? It's all good. But if God will help us, he wakes us up. He wakes us up to our sin. He causes us to see the horror of our sin, sometimes by experiencing the consequences. He did that for Israel. And then through his word and by his spirit, he brings us to repentance. And by repentance, I don't just mean sorrow for sin. There ought to be sorrow, but repentance is a drastic turning away from sin. 1 Samuel 7 verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. It doesn't say, then Israel was sorry and they kept on doing it. They put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. They started cutting off their right hands and plucking out their right eye. Our trouble, when God sends trouble into our lives, and the repentance that he brings through that trouble as well, like Israel's trouble and their repentance, those are marks of God's goodness. When God says, I will not leave you in that sin, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. On what basis, though? On what basis did God show his grace to the Israelites? Was it because they were descendants of Abraham? Was it because they had been circumcised? Was it because they offered sacrifices in the temple? Was it because the Ark of the Covenant was in their presence? On what basis is God gracious to us? Do we say God is gracious to me because I was born into a Christian family? I have been baptized. I'm a member, a confessing member of a faithful church. I believe all the right doctrines, and I do good works. Is that the basis for God's grace to us? On what basis did God help Israel? And on what basis does God help us? And the answer is found in our chapter, beloved. Only on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Only the blood of the Lamb slain can explain God's favor to Israel, the church. That's clear from our account. When Israel saw the Philistines coming, they asked Samuel to pray for them. What did Samuel do? 1 Samuel 7 verse 9, and Samuel took a sucking lamb, a young lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Samuel's prayer for deliverance was heard by God because of the sacrifice that looked forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why God delivered his people. It wasn't because of a little animal that had to suffer, but it was because by faith Samuel and God's people were looking forward to the sacrifice that God would provide for the sins of God's people. And as the smoke of that sacrifice was rising, just as Samuel offered that sacrifice, God began to deliver them. Verse 10, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. God hears our prayers for deliverance too, beloved. When we call upon Him in the name of Jesus Christ, indeed, when we call upon Him, Jesus Christ Himself is praying for us on the basis of that sacrifice that He Himself gave. Think about that. If God heard Samuel when Samuel was looking forward to the sacrifice, how much more will God hear the prayers of His only begotten Son pointing backward to His own sacrifice? God hears us. God hears our prayers for deliverance when we call upon Him in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain. When we confess our sins and seek forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus' name, God will surely hear us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Can you say that, beloved, looking back at 2015, that the Lord has granted His grace in your life, the grace of forgiveness for sins, but also the grace of sanctification? Can you say, the Lord delivered me? Maybe you feel like your feet almost slipped, like the psalmist in Psalm 73. Maybe you experience great difficulty, but the Lord has helped until this time. Samuel did not only want the people of Israel to consider God's deliverance on that day. That's why he set up the stone, so that every time the Israelites passed by that way, if their children said, "What does that stone mean? Why does it say Ebenezer?" Then the fathers could tell their children, "This was a memorial. This is a memorial of God's help. He delivered us from our enemies." Samuel wanted Israel to remember God's goodness in the past, because he wanted them to know God's goodness in the future. Why else remember God's goodness in the past but to remind us that He is the unchanging God? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath Jehovah helped us. Jehovah, coming from the words, "I am that I am," the great I am who never changes. If He was good to us in the past, He will continue to be good to us in the future. I'm not saying, however, beloved, that when God is good, He takes away all trouble and difficulty from our lives. When God allowed the ark to be captured, what a dark time for the church, and yet God was good also then to Israel. He doesn't take away trouble and difficulty. The Philistines did not disappear entirely from the scene when Israel won this great battle They were still around in Saul's day and in David's day. So too for us, we cannot expect that God will give us a life of ease. But we can expect His goodness. And we can expect His help. We can. And we ought to. Because He is Jehovah. And because He has already offered that sacrifice, His only begotten Son. If He showed that goodness, then He's not going to turn away. God will surely help us, not because we are good, not because we are good enough to make some kind of grade. We've reached this level of holiness, therefore God will help us. Not because we've repented with enough sincerity. Not because of anything in ourselves, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, God has brought good times and He has brought difficult times this past year. And things may change. But God remains the same. Jehovah never changes. He will continue to the very end. So we can, with Samuel, to quote the words of that hymn, "Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." Because God has helped us in the past, He will continue with us, even to the point where He brings us to our very home in heaven above. He will take us there. God will be with us, as He has been with us in this past year. May that be our confession. Hitherto, that the Lord helped us. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, that Thou dost give to us how we need Thy grace to carry on, how we need Thy help. For without Thee we cannot face the enemies that come against us. But by Thy grace we will stand even to the very end. Give us that grace, we pray. Go with us in this evening. Grant to us that we may rejoice in Thy help all the days of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.